Let's read this morning from the book of Matthew, the gospel according to St. Matthew. If you'll turn with me, please, in your Bibles to the gospel according to St. Matthew. I'll be reading in chapter 19, and I want to read a few verses this morning and ask you to follow along with us and take a very important text from this 25th and 26th verses. We are grateful for this portion of Scripture. I know that I have taken a number of occasions to preach from this chapter, to preach from this portion of verses that we are reading today, and I don't think we've ever preached anything that is more important than what we'll preach here today from this portion of Scripture. And we're thankful that God gives us some answers in His Word that can't be found anywhere else in society or in the world. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the world does not... they aren't even asking the right questions. They don't know the answers. They don't understand the problems. They're not even asking the right questions. The people who so-called are in charge or in leadership don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what's wrong with us or what we need or where we stand or how to resolve our problems. And so if you're looking to the arm of flesh, if you were looking to men, they will fail you. If you're looking to yourself, you will fail. The only hope you have this morning is in the Lord. The only hope we have collectively is in the Lord. The only hope you have individually is in the Lord. The only hope we have temporally is in the Lord. And the only hope we have eternally is in the Lord. He's our only answer, our only solution. And we are living in a world filled with so-called experts who would not know their heads from a hole in the ground. And they don't have a clue, friend. They don't have a clue. They don't know which end is up. They don't know right from wrong. They don't know in from out, up from down. They don't know anything, and they purport themselves to be wise when they are fools. That's what your Scripture says. I mean, and I won't get too far off in it, but I did get kind of triggered. That's the word the sissies use now and the modernists use, triggered. Everything triggers them. And that means that it provokes some emotional response, you know, to them because they were frustrated about something that happened that hurt their feelings. And I didn't get my feelings hurt, but I did get triggered and get a little bit upset and frustrated this morning. I was getting ready for church, and our Secretary of Transportation here in the United States, who is a man that thinks he is married to another man and thinks that they are now parents of twin children. And we ought to pray for those babies. They're going to grow up in the midst of a family that is popped out of hell. And we ought to pray for those twin children that God would work a miracle and rescue their lives. Otherwise, Satan has those two little old babies, a front seat already reserved on a train straight to hell, and their so-called parents driving the bus to lead them there. And it's a shame and a disgrace that it happened in a civilized country. And we need to pray for those children. We need to pray God would work a miracle in their lives and pointing them to Christ and saving them, and saving that man and that other man that are pretending to be married and pretending to be parents to these little old children that need a mom and a daddy is what they need. And they need somebody that loves Jesus to show them the way to God and the way to a decent, civilized human life that the Lord intended for human beings to have on planet Earth. And I thought as that poor excuse of a leader was speaking, and he did not understand any question that was given to him, and every response he gave did not make sense. Everything that he said was right backwards to the way that the truth is and the facts are. And then whenever they came to the close of the interview and the interviewer asked him about the twin babies, and he said something about his husband, this and that, and I thought, this is what's wrong. They are not in touch with reality. Any man who thinks he has a husband and with that husband thinks he has twin children is out of touch with reality. No need to ask him a question about anything else. He don't know anything. I mean, he does not even know which end is which. He don't know the up from the bottom. He doesn't know the top from the bottom. He does not know in from out and up from down. He does not know right from wrong. He needs some serious help, probably some mental help and definitely some spiritual help. And our country's in need of help because of people like him that is operating. We are in trouble. And the world, I said all that to get here, the world does not know the answers. They don't even know the questions. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus knows the question, and he is the answer. Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life. Now, this whole world is so confused and so mixed up, and we as human beings are having to work our way through a world that calls good evil and evil good, that calls light darkness and darkness light, that does not understand the truth of God's word, that does not understand the facts of time nor eternity. But Jesus can help us fish through all the confusion and all of the misunderstanding and all the difficulty and get down to the meat of the matter as it concerns the souls and the lives of men.
Amen.
And this morning I want you to consider heaven and hell, and I want you to consider sin and the Savior, and I want you to examine yourself and see where you really stand with God. See where your soul is. Is it well with your soul this morning? Are you sure you're right with God? Are you certain that things are well in your life? And if not, there is the one answer, and that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can be nothing else. So we're reading from Matthew chapter 19. You've already stood several times. I won't ask you to stand if you'll just follow along with us in your Bibles this morning as we are reading from verse number 16. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 16. The word of the Lord says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit or that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? That's a foolish question, by the way. If you were to take and select and pick and choose some commandments and not others, then you sort of pervert the whole concept of the righteousness of God. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus begins just calling off some of the commandments. The young man interjects in verse 20 and says unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus saith unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.
Right.
But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus says to him in verse 23, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. You see, the Lord had told them that it was almost impossible for even a rich man to get to heaven. He couldn't buy his way in. It was almost impossible for a good man to get to heaven. I mean, this guy has by his own admission, and the Lord not arguing with him, kept a lot of these commandments that many of us have broken. I mean, he is moral, he is wealthy, and yet he's not qualified to get into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples looked at Jesus, seeing this impossibility of how a person that was much better off as far as this world could see than what they were. They hadn't been moral and they hadn't been rich, and yet he was better than them, and yet he couldn't get saved. And they asked the Lord, saying this question, verse 25, into the verse, Who then can be saved? Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us. I appreciate your reverencing of the word of the Lord. Matthew 19 is that chapter where the Lord has this question unto him, Who then can be saved? That is a great question this morning. Who then can be saved? I mean, this is a giant question. It's an important question. It is a monumental question. And Jesus says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Who then can be saved? And this morning with the subject today and the World Series happening this weekend, I thought of this old story as I was preparing for the message today. Baseball manager decided to play a rookie in right field one day. The regular right fielder was not at all happy about it. And he loudly made known his displeasure from the bench that it was a big mistake to play the rookie. He heckled that rookie all throughout the game. As it turned out, the rookie was so nervous at his opportunity that he messed up badly. He made a couple of errors, misjudged several other fly balls that should have been called errors. Each time that he messed up, the veteran right fielder complained loudly from the bench and called him out for it. Finally, late in the game, the manager replaced the rookie with the veteran, mostly to shut the man up. But not long after that, the veteran had a ball hit right to him, and he misplayed his first opportunity in the game, and an error was credited to the right fielder. As he came off the field, at the end of the inning, everyone on the bench got very quiet to see what they could hear that he might have to say. The manager was standing at the edge of the dugout waiting for the veteran so that he could lay into him and let him know what he thought about his performance after heckling that rookie. Before the manager could address the man, the veteran ball player came into the dugout, slammed his glove down in disgust, and said, "Skipper, that kid has right field so messed up that nobody can play it now." And sometimes when it comes to knowing the Lord, I'm afraid we make it complicated. We make it difficult so that everybody looks as these disciples did that day and says, "It's so messed up. It's so difficult. It's so hard. It's so complicated that nobody can get saved, that nobody can get in, that nobody can know the Lord." But that's not the case, friend. That is not the case at all. I mean, friend, they had to feel that way about salvation far too often. Pastors and teachers and theologians have failed to communicate the simple truth of salvation through Christ in everyday language that any person can understand it. And yet your precious word of God said that it is so simple that a man, though he were a fool, need not to error therein. And the disciples were worried in our text. A very wealthy man has turned his back on the Lord Jesus and walked away from salvation. And this man chose his wealth over the Savior. He chose his way over God's way. He chose eternal death over everlasting life. The disciples must have been excited to anticipate this man joining their ranks. And they must have been so dejected when he departed from Christ lost. And it seemed they wondered, if this man could not be saved, then who can be saved? If he couldn't get in, then who can get into heaven? If he couldn't be a part of the family of God, then who can be a part of the family of God? The message of our Lord, my friend, was not to tell them, well, this group can because they're better than the rich guy, and this one can because they're better than the moral man. But instead, he told them about a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. It was a saying that would have been common in the time to illustrate an impossibility. I mean, friend, if you're going to be saved, it's virtually impossible. Now, this was not to discourage the disciples, but it was to instruct them, for his final words would be in verse 26, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." The lesson is this: it's impossible to be saved apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible to be saved when you come for salvation on your own terms. The great human impossibility magnifies the divine grace that is manifested in salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not a process of the church. It is not a methodology of man. It is not found in the Methodists or the Baptists or the Pentecostals or the Presbyterians or in the Catholics. Salvation is not of the preacher. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not of morality or of money. Salvation is of the Lord, friend. and only from the Lord. And this impossibility of being saved apart from Christ is what the Lord's sermon is on that day. I really just want to share three real simple things with you today as we look at this message. Who then can be saved? First of all, I want us to look at the subject that is stressed, the sinners that are specified, and the Savior who is sufficient. Let's begin with the subject that is stressed. Who then can be saved? What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about being saved. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about being born again. If you're being saved, then you have to be delivered from something. There must, when you say, I am saved, you are implying that you once were in distress. Hey, you once were in danger. You have been delivered, and today you are different. Salvation brings some things into your life. Being saved is the subject, and it is what man needs. He needs to be saved from who he is and from what he has done. He needs to be saved from sin and what sin brings. Hey, your salvation is not just a salvation from hell. It is a salvation from sin. It's not just a salvation from feeling guilty. It is a salvation from being guilty. It is a salvation from who you are and from what you have done. I'm thankful the Lord didn't leave us unto ourselves. I mean, if he judged us and dealt with us according to the multitude of our iniquities, we would be in serious trouble, friend. But praise God, salvation is him delivering us and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And a man needs salvation more than he needs anything else. The world wants to ask, what about global warming, which before was called global cooling, which is now called climate change? They don't even know what the question is. All they know is the answer is more taxes, more money, more regulation, and less freedom. But Jesus says the question is, how do you get to heaven? How do you get your sins washed away? How do you become born again? How do you get your soul saved? And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot do it for yourself. It is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, among the many thousands of English words, my friend, the most difficult three words are, I was wrong. My friend, those are the most difficult three. The two most delightful words are, check and close. But my friend, I can say with absolute certainty this morning that the most dynamic single word in the English language is salvation. And I'm glad I am S-A-V-E-D, saved. I'm thankful to be born again by the power of the Lord. I have new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing more needed by humankind than salvation in the Lord. The word saved carries with it a twofold implication. There is first the condition that is plain in us. If a man needs to be saved, it is because he is lost. The word lost in the Bible is, my friend tells us that man is lost and needs salvation. And that word lost in the Bible means totally ruined, unrepairable, to be broken and irredeemable. And this is the word the Bible uses concerning unconverted sinners. You see, all are sinners. Romans 3:10 said, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not a need in anybody this morning rising up out of their seat and saying, now preacher, I don't need to be saved because I've been doing so good and all. There is none of us that are good. No, not one. And Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my friend, there's only been one perfect man that's ever lived. And the sinful world, my friend, sought to nail him to a cross. And he died that we may live. Ecclesiastes 27 and 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And none of us are perfect. We are people with feet of clay. And my friend, our record cannot stand on its own. We need help from the Lord for our sinful lives, our sinful past, our sinful records, and our sinful hearts." I remember back a couple of years ago at least, it's probably been several years ago, I'm at the point of life where the other day could mean anything from a couple of months ago to about 25 years ago. That's what happens when you get a little later on in life, but I'm still not as old as Brother John and Brother Eddie. Amen. And so, but I remember back a few years ago, maybe it was, that I preached on a Sunday morning, and I mean, a friend, conviction was so thick in the house of God, and there were a number of people here that were lost and undone and needed to be saved. They needed the Lord. And God, the Holy Ghost, you could sense His moving in this place. I could see on their countenances how troubled that they were, as several stood and held onto the pews and gripped the pews when the altar call came, and trembled with fear of their concern for their eternal destination. A couple even came to the altar, cried a few tears, and went back to their seats unsatisfied and would not get right with the Lord. My heart was heavy for them, and I was burdened. I shared it that evening on social media that we had had a good day in the house of the Lord, and had asked for all who knew God to help me pray for sinners that were present in the house of the Lord that needed to be saved, that I desired for them to know Jesus. I thought it was a very, very benign post, very non-offensive. The very use of that word sinner triggered one of the ones I mentioned just a little while ago, a little snowflake who it bothered them for me to even use the word sinner. "I suppose, Mr. Powers, they say unto me, by your definition, all of the people in your congregation would be sinners." I said, "That's exactly right. I mean, friend, there is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Oh, my friend, hey, and if you're a lost sinner, unconverted sinner, if you've never been born again, we're concerned about your soul. And I'm not going to quit using the word sinner, because it might bother some people. There are people who need to be bothered. They need to be troubled by their position with God. They need to be bothered and troubled by, my friend, the sinful nature of their hearts and lives. The only kind of people who need saving are sinners. But praise God for this truth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. If you're a sinner this morning, don't put your head in your hands in despair. You're the kind of person Jesus came to save. And He came to save rich folks, would have been most left out. And He came to save wise, educated people, would have been most left out. And He came to save royal people, who, my friend, were in a great royal family, would all be left out. But praise God, since He came to save sinners, we were all included. And you can be saved, because that's who Jesus came to save. There's a condition that's plain. All are sinners. There's a condition that is plain. All are separated. You see, Isaiah 59:1 is that great verse where the Bible said, "The Lord's ear is not heavy that He cannot hear, neither is His hand shortened that He cannot save." But we often forget about verse number 2 where it says, "But your sins have separated between you and your God." You know the reason why people are separated from God? Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. It is our jealousy, our malice, our hatred. My friend, it is our anger. It is the way we misbehaved ourselves. It is the mindset that we have. It is our sin actions and our sin nature that have separated us from God. Oh, it is disobedience to the Lord. It is every sort of iniquity. My friend, it is the vile
violation of God's law. It is the impurities of our hearts. It is the failures of our records. It is the black marks in our ledgers this morning. Oh, my friend, God, help us. And whether you want to admit it or not, every person in this building has a red light district in your mind. And you need help from God for your thoughts to be right. You need help from God for your actions to be right. You need help from God for your steps to be right. Amen. The soul of man, the heart of man, is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Always evil continually. Hey, if you don't get help from God, you're headed down a road. I'm going to take you straight into hell for you. My friend, every sinner is separated from the Lord. And if you don't get that matter settled now, when you get into eternity, you'll be forever separated from Him. You'll either get that matter dealt with now, or my friend, if you go to hell, you'll forever be separated from God. But Jesus came that you might be saved, that you might have a part in the kingdom of heaven, that you might have a part in the kingdom of God. Having my friend, the subject that is stressed is salvation. That's what matters. Had a man who attended church here for about 2 or 3 years back several years ago, and I'm going to tell you who it is, many of you would know him. But he told me that very shortly before that they had moved and went into another town. He said, I am amazed at how often that you preach on salvation. He said, you would think really that if you're following the Lord, that all of us is already aware of that, and we might ought to move on to something else. But I'm going to tell you, we don't have anything else more important than people getting saved. There is nothing in life that matters more than you making sure your heart is right with God. And my friend, the subject Jesus stressed was salvation. Who then can be saved? Jesus says, with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And the condition is plain, that then there is a Christ that is provided for that condition. And when Jesus showed up on the scene as a baby in Bethlehem, the angel showed up on the scene in the heavens and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know what mattered to them? It was not who his mom and daddy was. My friend, it was not what kind of palace he was in. My friend, it was not whether or not that the kings were blowing trumpets and announcing parades. What mattered is the Savior's here. The Savior is here. The Savior is here. Oh, my friend, your only eternal hope is God Almighty. And your only access to Him is His Son, Jesus Christ. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm going to tell you something today, whether you'll receive this or not, God cannot be blamed for a single soul missing heaven. He made a way, and the only way for man to get from here to there, and sent that way to us in the person of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The Lord desires for all men to be saved. Men, women, boys and girls, all of humanity, the Lord has purpose, intended, planned, and predestined to save you if you'll have it this morning. Amen. Now, some of y'all don't even know what Calvinism is, and you're probably better off for it. Somebody say amen right there. But I am not a Calvinist. I'm not a five-point Calvinist. That's what they teach their tulip. The only tulips I like are the kind that are plastic. I don't even like the flowering kind. Flowers make me sneeze and give me allergies. I mean, if I die, y'all have all the flowers you want at my funeral, because I'll be dead and I won't have any allergies. How about if my wife passes away before me, y'all gonna have to send plastic flowers, because if I gotta stand all day long beside them flowers, I'll be dead before we put her in the ground. I mean, friend, and the flowers kill me. Oh, listen, I don't even like real flowers, real tulips. The only kind I like are plastic. I don't like the Calvinist tulip. The Calvinist tulip is their teaching of Calvinist theology. And there's a lot of false doctrine in the middle of it all. I'm not a Calvinist. Calvinist. But I want to say primarily the thing you might want to know about Calvinism is it teaches absolute sovereignty. That is, man has no choice. Man has no power to make decision. That God has predetermined who will and who will not receive grace and be saved. That is not only a fallacy, it is a heresy.
Right.
Amen, friend. Amen. It is false doctrine. Who will have all men to be saved? And the Lord wants to save everybody. I don't want you to know something this morning. If you're lost, the Lord wants to save you. And God loves you. The Lord cares about you. And Jesus died for you. Jesus will hear you if you'll call on Him. Amen. Now, will all be saved? No. My friend, does Christ want all to be saved? Yes. And did Christ come to die for all? Yes. Romans 8:32 said He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And that word all means all, and that's all that it means. Hebrews 2:9 says, and declares that Christ tasted death for every man. Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. If you're lost this morning, if you are unsaved, if you've never met Jesus, if you're living in your sins, and by the way, if you've never met Jesus, you are lost, you are unsaved, and you are living in your sins, and you are under the judgment of God, and Jesus came to save you. Came to save you, and He came to save people like you because He loves you. You are included in the plan of God, and this morning, that ought to give you hope. That ought to make you rejoice. That ought to make you grateful to the great God of heaven. He gives us hope. But my friend, the subject that is stressed is salvation. The sinners that are specified. Who then can be saved? If we want to be saved, if salvation is the subject, who is a candidate? Who can be saved? Who? This is a good question. The Bible tells us about those who can be saved and those who cannot be saved. My friend, the simple truth is about your damnation, it is your own election, not God's. People who are going to hell is by their choice, not by God's choice. The Lord took every step necessary so that you could be saved. And if you will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you have sealed your own defeat. You've sealed your own damnation. See, it kind of works like this. I remember Samuel said it this way. He says, the Lord voted for you. And he said, the devil has voted against you. And now it's left up to you to cast the deciding vote. And I got news for you. It is just that simple. That's how election works. The Lord is for you. The devil is against you. And it's up to you to cast the deciding vote. I mean, He has nominated you for salvation if you'll accept the nomination. If you won't accept the nomination, you'll die lost and go to hell. Friend, we won't talk about election. That's how simple it really is. My friend, 2 Peter 3:9 says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the Lord's desire to save everybody, but not everybody will be saved. Why not? Why are there sinners who cannot be saved? Well, though all men need to be saved, not all men will be saved. But my friend, salvation, God has salvation that He wants to give away, and He will give it to anybody who will come to Him in humble repentance and faith. How often have men will not therefore humble themselves and come to God? The reason why people are dying lost is not because it is not available. It is because they fail or refuse to accept God's promise and His gift. This is how simple it is. This is how simple that it is. Salvation is no more complicated in this regard than that ink pen. And it's the best one in the world. It writes that fine print stuff. It is a
It is a 0.7 millimeter. I mean, fine. You can write little bitty notes on this corner of your Bibles that you'll have to have your contacts in to read. And it is no more complicated in this sense than this. If that's a gift, Brother John, and I offer it to you, what do you have to do? To have it, you've got to receive it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
It's no more complicated than that. Salvation is God's gift to man. And to have it when he has offered it, you must be willing to receive it.
Amen.
Now give my pen back. The Lord won't do that to you. When he offers you salvation, if you will receive it, he won't reach out to him and say, "Now give it back." It's that simple. It's a gift. Now if I've got a gift and I'm going to give it to you, what do you got to do to receive it? Receive it. It's that simple. Now what ought you to do if you've received a gift? What is good manners teacher you ought to do? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Every saved person to whom the Lord has offered the gift of salvation and you have reached forward and received it ought to raise a hand toward heaven and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for finding me in my lostness, for delivering me from my sin, for changing my life. I could still be lost and condemned without heaven, without hope. But praise God, you gave me what I needed and I'm forever yours." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's that simple. The reason why people can't be saved is not because the gift isn't available. It's not because some have been segregated into this part and that the Lord said, "I'll not give it to them. I will only give it to these." That's not why they're lost. They're lost because when he extended the free gift, have they shook their heads and said no? Have they refused the only Lord Jesus? Have they, my friend, they walked away from him? Jesus did not tell this rich man he couldn't get in. He just said, "You're going to have to get rid of your riches. You've worshipped those riches. And your riches are your God. And you can't have any other gods before me. You'll have to get rid of your God and receive my salvation." Hear me this morning, friend. You can be saved if you'll receive the gift of God. But if you'll refuse the only Lord Jesus, if you reject the promise of God, if you will reject the promises of salvation, you cannot be saved like that. Sinners who cannot be saved are those who will not humble themselves and come to God. Sinners who can be saved are those who will believe. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth on him, that whosoever believeth on him, not that whosoever gets baptized, whosoever joins a Baptist church, whosoever shakes the preacher's hand, whosoever gives the most in the offering, whosoever volunteers so many hours, whosoever pedals their bicycle and knocks on doors, but it is whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you don't believe on Jesus, you can't be saved.
Amen. Hey. Yes, sir.
Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved if you will believe, and you shall be saved if you call upon him. If you won't believe, and if you do not call on the Lord, you'll never be born again. Jesus' death on the cross is sufficient for all men, but it is only efficient for those who believe on him and call on him.
That's a good way to explain. Yes.
Everybody, Jesus died, and his blood is enough for them all, sufficient. But it is only efficient, effective for those who believe on him and call on him.
Amen.
The gift is extended, but it's up to you to receive it. Finally, I'm closing with this. The subject that is stressed is salvation. The sinners that are specified is all who will believe and call. And then the Savior that is sufficient in verse 26, Jesus says, "With men it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible."
You see, God is the God of the impossible. None can enter into the kingdom of God except by the marvelous grace of God. Hey. For you and I to be saved, there must be a Savior. And there is one and only one who is sufficient for all. His name is Jesus this morning. Christ tasted death for every man. People don't go to hell because they're not God's chosen. They go to hell because they reject God's chosen. Isaiah 45 and 22. And the Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Amen. Right. What do you need to do this morning? Look unto him and be saved.
Yeah, to him and live.
Person of salvation is there. He says, look unto who? Look unto me. Not unto me, the preacher. Have unto me, the one who spoke the word, unto the Lord. And there is no doubt that God says that salvation cannot be found in any other, but it can be found in him. Friend, there is only one road to heaven. There is only one remedy for sin. There is only one escape from hell. And that is through God's only begotten Son. Salvation doesn't come through the church or through a cookie or through a catechism or a creed. But it comes through Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Have there not trust a sweeter faith, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The person of salvation is Jesus this morning. The people of salvation is everybody who will receive him. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. All ye ends of the earth. There is salvation for the whole world if they'll receive Jesus.
Yes, they are. Yes.
If, for those of you who do know what a Calvinist is and maybe know who one of them are, go home this afternoon if you have social media and share the Sunday morning service through direct messenger with them. Amen. Hallelujah. Be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. The Lord came to save sinners. Not certains. Not certain people. Not the elect, not certain pointed out ones that have been selected and predetermined, but all ye ends of the earth.
Yes.
That means you this morning.
Yes, sir.
The Lord came to save you, the people of salvation. And finally, the permanence of salvation. He's a Savior that is permanently adequate and sufficient. I don't know if you're listening to me still this morning, saved people.
Yes, sir.
But you, not only did you need Jesus to be saved, but you need Jesus to stay saved. And he's the only one that makes that happen. I'm not saved this morning still after 32 years because I've done so good. Oh no, friend. I'm born again. I'm saved today because Jesus is enough. It is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing. Look unto him and be, look unto me, he says, that is unto God, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. He does not say, look unto me and be saved, and then if you'll do all the right things, you'll stay that way. It's just, look unto me and be ye saved. Jesus is salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Our faith begins in him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. My hope is built in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A faith that works, a faith that lasts, a faith that holds.
Yes.
Salvation is of the Lord. And what he doeth forever. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is forever. John 5 and 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, he hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I am not waiting until I get to heaven to find out if I'm saved, but I am saved right now on my way to heaven.
Amen.
I'm not waiting till I get to heaven to find out, and if you are, you're waiting too late.
Yes, sir.
He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Today is the day to receive the Son and receive life. I'm not going to heaven because I've been good. I'm going to heaven because I am saved. I'm not going to heaven to find out if I'm saved. I'm going to heaven because I am saved. Who then can be saved? You can. You can. Jesus answered the disciples' question about who could be saved by declaring that God can do what man cannot do. None of us would be saved if it were not for the grace of God. What about what I've done? What about it? What about where I've been? What about it? What about my mom and daddy, my family tree? What about it? You see, you're asking all the wrong question. The right question is, what about Jesus? What about His grace? What about His mercy? What about His love? What about His promise? Your inabilities do not stifle the power of God. The Lord is able to reap where He has not sown. You say, I don't have a background in it. My mom and daddy wasn't saved. My family didn't know the Lord. That doesn't determine your salvation. Jesus does. All you got to do is cast your helpless soul at the foot of the Savior of Calvary, and He will save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
And if you'll not do that, you'll die eternally lost without help and hope, and there is no other remedy for you.
Amen.
I'm finished preaching. Come on with a song, please, this morning. The subject that is stressed is salvation. The sinners that are specified is all who will believe and call. The Savior that is sufficient is the Lord Jesus and Him alone. Look unto Him and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. Some of you this morning that are lost need to junk all of your excuses. Throw away every shred of unbelief. Forget about pride or whatever you think others may say or think about you. Instead, run to this altar. Cast your need before the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save your soul. Not one person in this building that knows God will think hard towards you for being a sinner that needs to be saved. We've all been in that same shape. You know what we'll do? We'll get happy in Jesus. And we'll do like the Lord will do. And He'll rejoice in heaven and we'll rejoice on earth. Because you came to know the Lord. Matter of fact, if you're struggling, we'll get around you. We can't pray for you. We can't do your praying for you. But we'll get around you and help you pray through. We'll intercede to the Lord and ask Him to do what He does in saving your soul. We'll believe God with you. We'll praise God for the change in your life when the Lord helps you. If you will ask the Lord to save you, believing that He'll do it, He will do what He promised. God is able this morning. Everybody stand. Your opportunity to pray has been presented. I've preached what God's put on my heart. And now you'll answer to the Lord what you do with it. And I invite you to come. Saved folks all over the building today ought to be praying for somebody that needs to be born again. Sing for us when you're ready, John Michael. If you need to pray, would you come this morning? Call upon the Lord. If you've never been saved, right now would be the time to come and to call upon the Lord. If you're lost this morning, I can assure you there are people here already praying for you, asking the Lord to do in your life what only God can do. Would you come and call upon Him? Would you cast your care on the Lord? For He cares for you.
Others see your
holy Would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved?
Will you empty?
Will you call on the Lord Jesus Christ? How shall you call on Him whom you have not heard? Well, you've heard about Him this morning. You've heard about the gospel. You've heard about the story of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, now's the time to do business with the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time.
Let me be more like You.
If you need to pray, would you come?
Your light, Lord, is shining upon me.
Oh God, have mercy on us this morning.
There's no hiding.
While the Lord is extending His free gift, would you receive that from Him?
family and children, my neighbors and all my friends.
The Lord has planned to save you, promised to save you, purposed to save
others
you.
And you'll
but receive Him, trust Him, believe Him.
Lord, will you empty me?
Thank God for the truth of the gospel.
Every selfish sin that would hinder my sweet Lord with thee. Now shine down upon me and fill me anew.
Only a powerful, all-powerful, sovereign God
can
choose to save all who will call upon His name. But I'm thankful we have that. What I want us to do this morning, we're all going to pray together. I want everybody across the whole building to pray together this morning. And I have not let anyone's concept of their own self-esteem change my language this morning. Sinners need to be saved. We got sinners in the building that need to be saved. Everybody in here has got people you love, people you care about, that are undone, that are lost, need to be saved. And we know that prayer works, Brother Bob. Whole lots of them that we've been praying for years, the Lord has saved them. I've been able to watch the Lord one by one save my girls. Brother John, one by one, we've watched God touch your boys. Been praying for Brother Bob's family all this time. Here recently, he's been able to say hallelujah and praise the Lord over a couple of his sons getting born again. One of them didn't even expect it to come right then, but the Lord works in amazing timing. God saved him. Hallelujah. Put him in a good church. Brother Bob didn't even know who his pastor was. One of the preachers I preached with. One of the finest preachers I preached with. God just put him right there in the right place. Hundreds of miles away, and God put him right there. I'm telling you, we serve a big God this morning. Big God. All over the building, I want you to pray. Listen, you don't have to call out a name. You don't have to call out a name. But if there's somebody in your life that's important to you, somebody you care about, somebody you love that's unsaved, and you want us to include them in this prayer this morning, I want you to raise your hand all over the building. Somebody that you know that needs to be saved, that you care about, needs to be included in this prayer. I want us to pray, all over the building. Brother Henderson, Wayne Henderson used to say, boys, let's pray in a preacher voice. That's what he'd say. Let's pray in a preacher voice. What he meant by that is just call on the Lord out loud. All over the building this morning, I want to pray for people that may need to be saved, that the Lord's will would be done. Brother Wendell Furr's going to lead us here in the back. Brother John's going to lead us in the front. And everybody in the building, I want you that knows how to pray, I want you to pray. And we're going to pray earnestly and sincerely for one another's lost loved ones, for the people in this place today that the Lord's dealing with that need to be saved. You men, if you would lead us, let's pray.
Father, we are thankful, Lord.
Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you.
Lord, ask you about these petitions. Lord, you said, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Lord, we ask you to plead for this day.
Lord, you
hover over us. This is the place we in right now. Save lost sinners. Lord, we got them in our family, dear Lord, and I pray, God, you'll help us. Lord, we got friends, Christian friends, and by the will of God, I pray, God, this day, Lord, you want to speak to us. Bless us and help us today, Lord. We go our own way.
I love you. Thank you.
Carry this sermon with us. This conviction with us.
Allow us.
Help us.
Know about it. God, convict you.
Lord,
God, you set the course of choice of life and death. God, I pray, God, that we choose life. Help us, God, this morning. Save those that are here and lost.
Thank you, me and time, for all you're doing for Jesus.
Help
us. We ask all these things in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. We'll meet tonight. We'll meet tonight at 6 o'clock. Prayer 15, Hill 6. Hope you'll come, be a part of the meeting. And after the meeting tonight, we'll go find some place to pay attention. And we know we'll have the victory at 6 o'clock. And we'll just have to wait and see if we have the victory at 8 o'clock. All right? Love everybody. Have a good afternoon. Appreciate you being here.